You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
NFL is back, huh, on the football field. Six games tonight that get it all rolling, and the Browns in flight as we speak as they're headed to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hugh Jackson, first time to get the boys assembled against somebody else, and that'll be tomorrow night in preseason game number one. Of course, you can check it out all along the Cleveland Browns radio network, and I know you have access to all the affiliates on the Browns Radio Network tomorrow night with Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon and Nathan Zagura on the sidelines. Reg Eye in for Zagura. Matt Wilhelm is here as well. All right, Matt, as we said, as a part of our OBM Hot Topics of the day, we spent a few minutes discussing the involvement of Robert Griffin III and where that's at. Let's gonna go into some of these position battles that are going to take place starting tomorrow night. And I think one that jumps out at us right away is because, you know, Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta, Hugh Jackson, Andrew Berry, they actually decided that this organization, not them, and I'm having a little bit of fun when I say this, but yeah, a little bit of sarcasm attached to it, actually decided that the wide receiver position does have some relevance in the National Absolutely. Football League. And again, that's not Sashi, and I'm sure it's that it just seemed like former regime here and just kind of ignored it, quite frankly. So there's four young men that are drafted, but you know, Matt, we'll get to them in a second. If I threw out to you right off the top, I mean, the likes of guys that have performed here, how important are these preseason games going to be for Taylor Gabriel, Darius Jennings, Ronnell Hall, who has flashed a little bit, Matt, on the practice field, yes, a young man who came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before we get to the rooks, Taylor Gabriel, Darius Jennings, and Ronnell Hall, they're certainly not guaranteed of spots.
They're not.
On this roster, how tenuous is their opportunity at the position?
Well, the encouraging thing about preseason games for those guys is the fact, and we heard it from Hugh Jackson, is that Andrew Hawkins, Corey Coleman will not be playing in at least this first preseason game.
And possibly and what is it? Terrell Pryor.
And possibly
well,
Terrell yeah. Pryor. I think we're going to see a little flashes of Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
But what does that mean to me? I mean, it's the bubble over my head that says screams opportunity. You know, an opportunity to get, if I was a three, I'm now a two at a certain position because of those guys being out. And so they're going to get more reps. And I think the mentality also has to be, I've got to go 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, I have to be mentally sharp as well. Because I think Al Saunders has coached his tail off to have this entire group be ready to be on the receiving end of RG3 and Josh McCown playing at a high level. But even furthermore, I think what's encouraging to me, and it's something that I talked to you about before we even started, is the amount of coaching that's going on has a lot to do with why there is position battle after position battle, and guys like Darius Jennings and Taylor Gabriel and Ronnell Hall are playing so well.
Yeah.
Because on paper, you might go, Ronnell Hall's not going to make this football team. But if you actually come to practice and see his ability to get open and consistently make plays and get off the jam, you go, that guy can play in the NFL.
He's got a little size to him, too. He's not a, you know, he's not a thin guy. He's 200 pounds, about 6 feet tall. And as I said, my eyes went to him a couple of times in practices.
And Al Saunders loves him, and he's taken some reps with the ones. Don't be surprised if Ronnell Hall is actually running with the ones at times.
Okay.
You know, but even furthermore, it puts guys like Marlon Moore in jeopardy.
Moore, I forgot to mention
Can
Marlon
he get
Moore,
on the
right.
field? Yeah. Or, you know, do you start to weigh special teams?
How much do special teams come into play if I said they're going to keep a six wide receiver? Receivers. Somebody was trying to tell me, you know, in the organization yesterday at practice, said, you know, maybe seven people. I don't. But that's a big number if you're going to keep seven.
Correct.
Then how many? Five of them better be contributing heavily on specials.
Right. And the one thing that I thought, and I know it was a surprise to a lot of people, draft analysts, is when we took Ricardo Lewis in the fourth round.
Right.
You know, a lot of people go, Ricardo Lewis out of Auburn, you know, that's a run-heavy offense. And he had to go back to his junior year on when he played really, really well. But I thought, if you look at the kid, and I know Nathan consistently talks about spark score. That spark score really measures how explosive this athlete is. Mm-hmm. You look at Ricardo Lewis, he is a yoked-up, raw specimen. And what does that say to me? I got to get that guy to be what Marlon Moore is to me on special teams. And if you really approach the mentality of how Sashi Brown's going to put this team together, it's, am I going to release or practice squad a fourth round pick in Ricardo Lewis,
right,
and keep a Marlon Moore, who's a veteran? He's a little bit more costly, but essentially, this is my regime now. This is my draft pick. Am I going to cut this guy or put him on the practice squad for Marlon Moore, who's essentially going to play the same role, get a limited number of targets in any football games at the actual wide receiver position, but be a banshee on special teams?
Yeah, well, so, and that's going to play very heavily. And Matt just laid that out extremely well. So those are the veterans, and I'm glad you brought up Marlon Moore, because I forgot to include him here as I laid out that that line of questioning to you. So now it brings us to the four drafted rookies at that position. Corey Coleman, we certainly don't
star.
Need that's, you know, he's expected
I'll
to be.
I'll pencil him in as a star.
Big time. There you go. Big time difference maker. That is an explosive part of this pass game. So now you get to the other three, and you brought up Ricardo Lewis, and then there's Rashard Higgins out of Colorado State, and Jordan Payton, who is one of the, you know, all top, more of a possession guy, but one of the guys who shows up in the top five of every UCLA pass-catching list there is. I watched him yesterday. He caught a couple of balls on deep square ins and one on a deep comeback. And so you know that there are guys that thought highly of it in order to draft all four of them. But again, putting Coleman aside, do you see the other three, Matt, in just what we just went through with the vets, that can all of Ricardo Lewis, Hollywood Higgins, and Jordan Payton make this football team?
I think it's going to be tough. I really do. And I think as we sit right now, I would have to say that Sean Payton might be outside looking in on making this football team a wide receiver.
Jordan Payton.
I'm sorry. Yes, correct. Jordan Payton.
Yep.
And the reason why I say that is because he wasn't here all offseason because, you know,
graduated from UCLA. Yep.
You know, it's a rule. Mm-hmm. We don't like it when you're, you know, part of a franchise who wants all your guys here. Danny Shelton went through it last year.
Right.
But it is what it is. So he's been playing catch up. And the one thing that I have to say about him as a wide receiver, not overly fast.
No.
You know, so he's not going to run by you. He's got to be extremely good route runner. He's got to have extremely good hands. And he has showcased that at times at practice, as you said, mm-hmm. you know, running the route tree that fit him best.
Yeah.
Not the routes that Corey Coleman can run
or Josh
Gordon are going to run. And if that has a place in this offense, which it may or may not. And the reason why I say that is because if you go back and look at the makeup of the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones weren't so much the possession receivers. Hugh had a special skill set that he wanted, you know, as accessories to Tyler Eifert and A.J. Green, as well as Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, that they fit perfectly. And Jordan Payton's kind of different from all those. And I think, but when you look at Hollywood Higgins, as you said, the other, he reminds me of a Marvin Jones or a Mohamed Sanu. He's got some flash to him. He's a great runner. Now, again, like Payton, he's a little bit faster than Payton, but he's not a burner, you know, but he's athletic. He's gangly. He's got a great arsenal of moves to get off the line of scrimmage. He's only adding to that by working with Coach Al Saunders every day. So if I had to say right now, Coleman, as I said, pencil in to be a star, number one wide receiver until we potentially get Josh Gordon back, and then you got a real dual threat like every other team in the NFL has. And then we're playing, and then we're cooking with gas.
Right.
I'd say Higgins is going to make the team. I think Hawkins is a guy that they love.
Relationship with Hugh. Yeah.
I would say Payton has to play very well and show out in these preseason games.
Practice squad for the Rooks, like, so you're saying Payton. But remember now, at any time when you have an individual on the practice squad, they could get plucked.
Right.
They can get plucked. So
yeah, they clear waivers.
They clear waivers, and they're fair game to every all other 31 in the
league.
Yes, right.
But the key factor is the reason why we may be comfortable putting maybe Ricardo Lewis and or, you know, Payton on the practice squad is because they have to clear waivers.
Yeah,
which means, you know, another team signs them and essentially accepts their contract, their rookie contract.
Sure.
And then if they don't, if we designate them to our practice squad, it may not be until the season actually starts and another team gets thin and uncomfortable with their depth at wide receiver that they then pluck them off of our practice squad.
Yeah.
And a lot of things can actually change for us. You know, maybe Higgins might be go from active to practice squad and Peyton up. So yep. A lot can change for us, so that's something to take into account.
Where are you at? And, you know, I'm sure you and Nathan have talked about it, but where are you at with Terrell Pryor? Do you think he's a viable part of this pass core?
Yes. And I think, you know,
he's done enough for you to show now that he has the chops for like that. He is understanding of everything it takes to be a competent NFL receiver.
He may not have everything it takes to be a competent receiver, because I think I think if Terrell were sitting here, he'd say that I'm a work in progress still.
Okay.
And if Al Saunders were sitting here, said he works hard every day, he does everything I ask him to, and then some, and he's getting there. Okay. And I do think it's enough to make this football team. And the reason why is if you do come to practice, and I know you said you've been, you know, 5 or 6 times.
Four in the scrimmage. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's the ball consistently goes that way, and it's not on an accident. So he's winning because he's overly physical, because he can still run a 4-3, because he's winning in press jam situations. He's running the right route. He's getting into the vision of the quarterback. Or Hugh's putting him in a situation to where I got to see Terrell be my number one potentially until we get Josh Gordon back.
I didn't get a chance to ask Chris Tabor yesterday because he wasn't available. But I noticed as I watched specials yesterday, and they were just walking through, which I surprised me a little bit, Terrell lined up on the edge on punt cover.
Right.
On specials.
Sure.
I guess I don't know, it caught me by surprise, but I just did not, you know, process. See, okay, they're going to ask him to play punt cover now.
Yep.
On specials.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if that's all part of the deal with him.
And you know what might even happen is, and this is kind of the, and not many people in Ohio who are both Browns and Buckeye fans might know this Terrell Pryor, but there is a humbled version of Terrell Pryor that we're seeing here in a Browns uniform. And in a situation like that might be where Tabor might have, you know, banged his hand on the table and said, I'm looking for guys that are going to sell out, that are going to be, you know, go all in with me. And Pryor might have, in a hallway, said, Coach, whatever you need, I can do. Try me here. He might have volunteered his services.
Yeah.
You know, and it coincides with Terrell Pryor, as you said, still not so refined that he's like a legitimate number one or even a legitimate number two. He's a 3 or a 4 for us. A 3 or a 4 on most teams are also playing special teams.
Yeah.
So he should not get any special treatment. And I think in any case, for a guy like him who was once cut by this football team, the more you can do, the better.
Well, right. And you brought up, because of the Hugh Jackson connection with Marvin Lewis with the Bengals, both Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. And I'm not saying the last, but when they came in, they were both on special teams.
Of course. Yeah.
Both of
them
were.
I mean, it was Mohamed Sanu and A.J. Green.
Yes.
And then Marvin Jones transitioned from being a special teams player to earning the right to actually take receiver
exactly.
reps.
And Andrew Hawkins as well when he was in his first year or two with Cincinnati.
And that's the standard.
Hawk played specials
and
as well.
And so. And you look for Peyton and look for Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
And look for Ricardo
Lewis.
That's how
you got to make your mark, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know that.
Yes.
You've done it. You've been through it. Absolutely is correct. So, all right, there's the wide receiver position. I just don't know. I think 7, I can't see him keeping 7. That's because then now you got to look at, you know, other positions on the football team. Before we go to break, and great to have all of you along, terrific to be able to go through this with Matt as the Browns approach their first look-see under Hugh Jackson tomorrow night in Green Bay. Kind of subtly yesterday, Austin Davis ran with the 3s and took a little bit more reps than he has been. Than Cody Kessler. So my immediate thought, and I know, you know, I got into a conversation with this yesterday, but I thought, I think we're going to see more of Davis initially, certainly tomorrow night, and maybe even against Atlanta. Matt, I think this could be a definitive showcase going on to maybe look to get or see if there's other interest around the NFL in an Austin Davis who has started, who has played, as
we know.
The
next Brett Favre, right?
With, that sounded a little cynical, man.
Brett Favre proclaims.
Yeah, so I don't know. Possibility, Possibility yes. that that's the case with Davis?
Possibility with Davis, and I think on the other side of the while we're not in a hurry to do anything with Cody Kessler. Mm-hmm. And I think while, yes, we drafted him and we had a luxury of picks, and that was Hugh Jackson's luxury pick. And he said, trust me on this one.
He did say trust me.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get a whole lot of reps, because the expectation is we don't have to get a lot out of him this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good place to be. And if we can get some type of value for a guy like Austin Davis, or develop a value by giving him more opportunities for us, if it's a sixth or a seventh or a conditional pick next year, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. No question about it. You know, we've asked you to tweet at us anything you may have in mind with regard to your thoughts on some of the things that we're going through here, position-wise, or, as we said, kind of painting with a broad brush the immediacy and the urgency for the players to tomorrow night show that they can now implement Hugh Jackson's system into game competition. At a Pete Bellini 12 or Pete Bellini 2 tweets at us and says, Matt, I see the offense throwing a lot simply because they'll be often playing from behind, can't grind it out down two touchdowns. That's a referendum on, I guess Pete's saying right now he's not real sure about the defensive side. But, Matt, as I went through, I disagree with that. They are going to have to fortify their run game, because that's the last thing that you want starting out of the chute. And we saw Josh McCown had to do it so much last year, throwing the football 40 to 50 times. That's not going to be a recipe for success for this young offense.
Absolutely, and I think our inability to run the football at will actually expedite RG3 reverting back to old habits. Because I think if we give an RG3, because of the athlete that he is and the success that he thinks he may be able to have with his legs by moving the pocket or deviating the pocket, because he doesn't trust, there's going to be a lot of third and seven situations if we can't run the football. And old habits happen in those situations when the pocket breaks down
I'm
and the
use my legs.
Pins their ears back,
right?
That I'm going to go make a play
because
I'm behind the eight ball to make a play.
Yeah. And again, this is just me talking. I think this is something that Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton have worked on extensively with Robert through the beginning, through when he first came in here, with passing camp and mini camp and then OTAs, which is to, you know, Robert, we're going to be successful when we get you in that pocket delivering the football as we know you can with accuracy. You know, you slide, you step, that's great. All the great would do that. But, you know, to abandon it and start to revert to, you know, what you think is going. I don't believe that's
what he may think in that situation is not what Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson are asking for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, a lot more coming up. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal will join us coming up in about 12 minutes at 2:30 or so. Our OBM Hot Topics will continue to roll on. We may even throw a few surprises your way as we head toward 3 o'clock this afternoon. You can continue to tweet at the show at Michael Regai, at Browns_daily. And you can give us a shout if you like, 216-578-0850. It's the day before Hugh Jackson's first Cleveland Browns impression as the preseason begins for the Browns. And we're delving into all of it right here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850. WKNR, back with you in a moment.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
So good to have all of you in touch as we take you till 3 o'clock this afternoon, just flying by as Matt Wilhelm, our producer Dave DiNatale, yours truly, Michael Regai in for Nathan Zagura, who is traveling with the Browns to Green Bay. We've been going through starting with the beginning of a Browns philosophical change, of course, here, and then showing that immediacy and urgency for Hugh Jackson, and have gone through some of our OBM hot topics of the day, which include his player position, not only battles, but guys showing that they belong. And if not here, then belong in the National Football League, with, of course, that's what The month of August is all about everybody's taking a look at everything you put on tape, and not just games either, on the practice field as well. Now, for one of those young men, and they say they can't find you if you're playing Ivy League football. Seth DeVolve would say otherwise, Matt Wilhelm, as he was a drafted player by the Cleveland Browns out of Princeton, of course. And you know, Sashi Brown and Andrew Berry, they're going to be looking at Ivy League guys from the schools they came from. Had a chance to chat. I believe it was Jason Gibbs, wasn't it? That Jason Gibbs initiated our conversation with the Browns draft choice Seth DeVolve yesterday, a young man who is looking for an opportunity to be on the 53 and make this football team. And how is he feeling about those very opportunities as the preseason begins? This is DeVolve from yesterday during the practice day for the Browns.
Well, Seth, getting activated today. Just could you take us through the last couple of weeks here and you recovering from that hamstring injury?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been, a lot of time spent in the training room, a lot of time spent with the strength trainers, the athletic trainers, doing whatever they say, however many times a day, getting what I need to get done. I've made progress each day to the point where, I feel like I can get back and start doing, some drills and practice.
How much catching up do you think you have to do right now? There's quite a bit of competition amongst that tight end group right now.
Yeah, there is. One of the benefits of getting to sit back is you get to kind of see the whole picture offensively, schematically of what we're doing. So, mentally I feel very prepared and, ready to get in and do everything that I'm asked to do from a mental standpoint. Right now, physically, they're still working me back into things. So it'll be an ongoing process, however long that takes. But I feel prepared, mentally and in my ability to do, what I gotta get done.
Were you getting at all anxious or antsy to get back on the field, just seeing the tight ends do what they're doing on the field?
Absolutely. It's very hard to watch. Unfortunately, I've been a spectator for majority of my time here so far. It's something you got to be patient with, because this hamstring injury is not something you can tough through. Like some injuries where you can wrap it up and get out there. Hamstring, you'll just keep re-injuring it if you try to do that. So I've had to be patient. It's been very, very difficult, very frustrating at times, watching instead of playing. But my time will come.
Do you think that, coming from an Ivy League school, doing the stuff that you do, do you feel that mentally you're ready? Do you think that mentally the playbook and everything, that you're ready to go and you understand this offense and you don't need much time to kind of grasp it?
I do feel I'm ready. One, you can control the things you control. If I can't get on the field, I can be in my notes and in my playbook and in the meetings just as diligently as anybody else. So I do feel prepared to play. I do feel that I know what I'm doing. Now it's just a matter of being able to get out there and do it.
Is that what you have been doing, just getting your head in the notes every day?
Absolutely. Yep.
How did the injury occur? When your guys were running the conditioning test, or were you hurt before that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was hurt initially during minicamp back in spring. Right. It was just while I was running a route, my hamstring pulled, and I started my recovery process from there.
Well, it must have been pretty serious then for it to last as long.
Yeah, it was minor, but it's been reoccurring. So I've had to take the time to get it healthy, get it better, so that it doesn't keep reoccurring. Mm-hmm.
How would you describe yourself as a tight end?
I'm very much a hybrid tight end wide receiver in my own mind. One who's able to block and is big enough and strong enough to block. But really, my training up to this point in my career and what I feel I'm best at is route running. So that being said, I can be used in different areas to, create different mismatch opportunities. But, you know, really being strong and fast and mobile for my size is what I feel I bring to the table.
What's it like coming in as a rookie and you got a Pro Bowler like Gary Barnidge to talk to and to lean on and learn from?
It's an extremely fortunate opportunity that I have, that we all have in that room, you know, the younger tight ends, to learn from somebody who's done it a long time and who has done it very well. He is like a coach, you know, and he's very helpful for all of us. He asks really good questions in meetings. He processes the game on a higher level and sees things that I, you know, need to learn to see out of defenses. And we've learned a lot from him.
How do the things that you've had to learn here compare to a course at Princeton?
It is a little bit like going to school. You know, you sit in meetings for probably half the day. You know, we meet longer than we practice. And your notebook is open. Your textbook or playbook is open. There's notes on the screen. And you're looking at the screen. You're taking notes. And it's very much like going to school. Lots of detail.
Just be an upper level course.
Yeah, I would say so. The playbook is thicker than most textbooks. Yeah.
When you look at a guy like Gary, not a high draft pick, doesn't have the, you know, the celebrity swag or however you want to define that. Do you look at him maybe as a little bit of a source of inspiration, as a guy who's coming from an Ivy League school, who, you know, it's not exactly a conference that many people think of, you know, finding NFL players from?
Yeah, absolutely. Gary is a product of hard work and of consistency, and coaches in this league and on this team, they depend on him and they count on him and they trust him. And so he's built that trust by being consistent, by doing things the right way, and that's how he's gotten to where he is.
Hey, Seth, excuse the bluntness of this question, but do you go online, do you read internet stuff? Because a lot of these guys who've never seen you say that the Browns made a mistake, right? Do you see that stuff?
I've actually taken my internet browser off my phone, and I very rarely am online. So I hear it from other people sometimes, but I don't read it myself, no.
What does that mean? What do you think? I mean, he haven't even been able to practice. I don't know how they could make that assessment.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a lot of attention put on the draft because it's such a – because people love watching it so much, but player acquisition happens all year round, and people like me come in all the time and have roles on NFL rosters. And you know, me coming from a smaller school and not being as well known as some of the other draft picks prior to the draft, that's just kind of the inevitable situation that I'm in. It's nothing that is bothersome, or, you know, it's expected, in other words.
I like the confidence in the young man, Seth DeVolve, out of Princeton. Going to be competition at that tight end spot behind Gary Barnidge. A little bit of H-back involved with that as well. Connor Hamlett, who I think has sparked a little bit. Big 6'7" pass catcher out of Oregon State has shown. In fact, he's gotten a couple reps with the ones, Matt. In the scrimmage he did, and on goal line, and caught a TD pass in the scrimmage as well. E.J. Bibbs, as we know, played, I think, 6-7 games with the Browns last year, and Randall Telfer, who got hurt, a big right. Tight end. Hugh Jackson wants to keep three, doesn't he?
Three, maybe four.
You think all four?
Yeah, because I don't know if – I know Malcolm Johnson's a guy that
no,
played that fullback role.
It's more H.
But, right, correct.
Yeah.
But I think there might not be a place for that H kind of fullback position, whereas you can use a second tight end in some of those scenarios instead of carrying that extra fullback.
Yeah, well, it's going to be this is going to be intriguing. So keep an eye on the tight end position. The H is, as we Matt and I both just said, some of it will kind of evolve into that with Malcolm Johnson being a part of it as well. All right, Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. So great to have you guys in touch as the NFL is back. Six games tonight. Browns flying to Green Bay. They go tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers. Give us a timeout when we get back on the other side. We're going to get into some of the Hugh Jackson philosophizing and how this roster may shake out with Nate Ulrich, the fine Browns and NFL beat writer from the Akron Beacon Journal. That's next. Don't go away. Get into your tweets a little bit more as we approach the 3 o'clock hour. Still a lot to do here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
A lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. All those E's are running around here, the Dog Bowl in Berea. Why not? Completely new philosophy of how to go about the business of cultivating a winning feeling with your Cleveland Browns. And that's what Hugh Jackson and his staff, and above you, of course, Sashi Brown and Andrew DePodesta and Andrew Berry and all the guys are about as this 2016 season gets underway against somebody else. Been in training camp since July 29th, and now it's about the Green Bay Packers tomorrow night, and we'll see what that brings. Let us go to our Cleveland Browns daily hotline here on ESPN Cleveland and check in with a gentleman that I know you are with each and every day as he writes for the Akron Beacon Journal, not only the Browns but the NFL and of course, on Twitter as well, as we say hi to Nate Ulrich. Hi, Nate. What's going on? You okay?
Hey, doing well. How's it going, Michael?
I'm great. Appreciate you joining. Always love our conversations. Matt Wilhelm is here. Nate, let's just start with your immediate feelings with regard to some of the things we've been talking about with Hugh Jackson and how he is making his football team understand that it's about showing that not only you can adapt to his new system, but then implement it starting tomorrow night with some positivity about it. Where are you, Nate Ulrich, with how Hugh Jackson has begun to implement that with his football team? Are you seeing some strides in the right direction?
I think so. The things that I really have noticed are the energy that Hugh's brought to the team. I mean, if you're the offense and you're getting out of the huddle and you're kind of dilly-dallying toward the line, he's going to yell at you, make you get back in the huddle, break it again, and race to the line. I mean, he knows the way that he wants his offense to play, and that's fast, that's quick tempo, and he demands it. And that energy is – it shows up in all different kinds of ways, but that's definitely one example. And I think the other thing is he has delivered the physical camp that he promised. You know, we haven't seen many of those siren periods lately, but there certainly have been a good amount of them through 11 practices. We saw the live scrimmage in Berea last Friday. I think that is a nice change for the Browns. You know, the previous few coaches didn't practice that live tackling. And, I think that the idea behind it is really good. But, hey, has it really been tested against an opponent? No, we're going to see that tomorrow night for the first time, and I want to see it pay off. You know, if they go out and miss a bunch of tackles, it'll feel like a waste. But obviously the idea behind it is they're going to be better prepared for that, and they aren't going to go and miss a bunch of tackles like they have in previous years.
Absolutely. And the one thing that we have yet to see is RG3 in a preseason or game scenario in a Cleveland Browns uniform. And Nate, just share with us your overall perspective on RG3, the camp he's had, being named a starter, and your expectation for tomorrow night.
Well, you know, I think RG3 has been a pleasant surprise in this camp so far. He had that inconsistent spring where he'd throw a nice pass and he'd throw a bad pass, and it was kind of up and down roller coaster. I think a lot of that was a guy, you know, not only knocking off rust from not playing at all last season, but learning a new system and getting acclimated to new teammates. So I think he has been on the rise. I'd say the arrow is up. You know, I think he had a really good scrimmage Friday night in pads, and then another good one Saturday at Ohio State without pads. I think, you know, the key to tomorrow is going to be seeing him face a live rush for the first time. You know, when he's out there practicing with his teammates, he's in that different color jersey. They're not supposed to hit him. And tomorrow night, you know, the Packers aren't going to have that same courtesy, you know. And so we're going to get to see him face a live rush for the first time as a member of the Browns. And we all know that an Achilles heel for him in this career has been that he hasn't been able to establish himself as a consistent and reliable pocket passer. So I want to see him feel the rush, and I want to see him make throws and make plays and go through his progressions when people are coming at him.
Browns and NFL beat writer Nate Ulrich joining us. Always a pleasure to chat Browns with Nate. Read him at the Akron Beacon Journal, akronbeaconjournal.com. You know, Nate, one of the things we mentioned and Matt and I have been talking about is, in addition to grasping the system, has Robert Griffin evoked the confidence from his teammates that they believe in what he's bringing to the party here with the Cleveland Browns? I know it's early, but do you feel like as you go through the locker room, at least on the offensive side of the ball, you've seen some of that already his teammates on that side gaining belief in what he's here to accomplish?
Yeah, no, I think they definitely have. You know, and you hear all kinds of things about his past and, you know, that he was a bad teammate in Washington, that he clashed with the coaching staff, and, you know, and he admits that stuff, you know, was part of the downfall, and he learned a lot of lessons, and that, you know, you have to change as a person, you have to evolve, and he thinks he has. And I think that his teammates, you know, some of them, probably some of the veterans who've been around especially, kind of, you know, viewed him with some skepticism coming in, but I think he's won some of them over. And you know, obviously, I think that we all heard several guys, including Josh McCown, endorse him as a starter. And when you're Josh McCown and you're the incumbent starting quarterback of this team, and you say that, hey, this guy's playing well, he's practicing well, he's grown as a leader, you know, and he deserves this job, I think that says a lot to everybody in the locker room. And it's no surprise, because Josh McCown's a class act. He's the epitome of professionalism. He's going to be a great NFL coach one day. But I really do think that, you know, behind the scenes, Josh has gotten with RG3, and they've worked some of this stuff out when it comes to, you know, some of the problems that he's had in the past. And I think they've talked through some things, and I think that, you know, RG3 has impressed Josh in the way that he's kind of matured in that facet of being a leader in the locker room.
Absolutely. And Nate, one thing that I think was a surprise to a lot of Browns fans was how far along this offense was, not only RG3, but also those wide receivers. And something that Michael and I have been debating back and forth today is the position battle at wide receiver. And I think so. Evaluate the four draft picks, how they've been through training camp thus far. And then essentially, if you had to make your cuts right now, what six or seven wide receivers are making this roster as of today?
Wow, okay. I think the wide receivers were a real source of optimism and hope until most of them got hurt, man. I'm pretty disappointed by the fact that they're, you know, not going to be playing tomorrow. You know, Corey Coleman, man, he looks like the real deal Friday, making great plays in that scrimmage. But now he's going to be out with a hammy along with Andrew Hawkins, and nobody should be shocked. Don't be surprised at all if Terrell Pryor doesn't play, you know, after hurting his calf yesterday in practice. So, you know, there is a bit of a down note. Overall, though, those guys get healthy. I really like what I've seen from the receiving core. Josh Gordon obviously still doesn't practice out with the quad, and when he comes back, and if he can lose some of the weight and if he can be half the player he was in 2013, I think the receiving core can be a really pleasant surprise. In terms of guys who I like in the rookie class not named Corey Coleman, you got the three drafted guys, Rashard Higgins, Ricardo Lewis, and Jordan Payton, and Rashard Higgins was drafted last of those three guys, and I think he's been the best. I'm most impressed by him. I think he has really good hands. Pep Hamilton has praised him for his detailed route running. He said it's rare for a young guy to be that detailed with his routes and that precise. So I really like Rashard Higgins. So if we're talking guys who are going to make the team and you want me to name six, I would go with, well, I'll go with Corey Coleman, obviously, Andrew Hawkins, Terrell Pryor. I will go with Hollywood Higgins. I will go with, let's see, who else do we have here? Ricardo Lewis
or Jordan Payton.
You got Rennell Hall, Jennings, Darius Jennings,
Rennell Hall,
Marlon Moore. Right?
I got to put Josh Gordon on there. That would get me to five. And then if I'm going to six, if I'm going to pick between that group, I think that, you know what? I think I'm going to go with Jordan Payton. Mm-hmm. I like him. I think he's made some good plays. He's a shifty guy, makes guys miss in the secondary. He missed all his spring practices, so he started training camp behind the other guys, but I think that I've seen him flash. I like him a little bit. And then you know what? That's six guys right there. But then if you have to put Josh Gordon on the suspended list to start the season, so he won't count towards the 53. So I can throw one more in here, and I'm going to go Marlon Moore because of his special teams contributions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, intriguing. A lot of different ways you could go. This is why you got to check out Nate Ulrich, covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal on Twitter, at Nate Ulrich ABJ. The other side of football, Nate, in the time we have left, everybody's a little bit concerned about how Ray Horton is going to go about recapturing what he did here in 2013. Secondary young guys trying to find their way. Is Joe Haden going to be able to get back to his elite status on that corner? And now there's kind of a state of flux in that front seven as well. You know, just what's your confidence level right now, Nate, that Ray Horton, by the time the bell rings in September, is going to have this thing feeling better about his defense?
You know, I think Ray's a really good coach, but I just have a lot of concerns. You got to have the players, and we know this is a rebuilding team, but you know, I think when you look at the team from the big picture standpoint, you think, wow, you know, this offense has a sneaky talented group of skilled players. This offense, if RG3 can you know, make something of himself with Hugh Jackson's creativity, this offense could be a pleasant surprise. On defense, I'm just having a really hard time finding the silver lining here. I mean, other than the guys are young and should be better in future seasons, but this could be a rough season. I mean, let's all be honest. I mean, there are big question marks at every level across the board here. Defensive line, linebackers, secondary. Hayden's got to come back and bounce back, in my opinion, in a very strong way for it to be even a respectable secondary. I just don't see who's going to be making the plays, who's going to be forcing the turnovers, and who's going to be sacking the quarterback other than Paul Kruger. You know, I thought Emmanuel Ogba might be that guy. You know, when you pick him 32nd overall, you certainly hope he becomes that guy. But then he moves to defensive end in a 3-4 because Desmond Bryant was hurt. And I don't know. I'm not feeling real strongly about this defense right now. In terms of it being able to really, you know, turn it around and surprise us in a positive way. You know, that's why they play the preseason games, though. You know, like I said, they haven't been tested. Maybe, you know, they stand out a little bit more than we think they will. But I think most of it's going to, you know, come down to for this team to get by and to maximize what it does have to work with on defense. It's going to be Ray Horton scheming stuff and calling some stuff up, dialing some stuff up and trying to confuse offenses.
Yeah, we've seen Ray work his magic here before, as we said, back in 2013 with a top half of the NFL defense. Very frank, but very legitimate. Nate Ulrich, we always appreciate your time, buddy. We could go on and on. We're going to have to leave it here for today, but we'll do this again as the preseason wears on leading up to the regular season. Appreciate your time, as always, Nate. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
That's Nate Ulrich. Check him out, Akron Beacon Journal, akronbeaconjournal.com, and also on Twitter. Very good follow. Keep you right up to speed with everything you need at Nate Ulrich ABJ. All right, final timeout time. Matt and I will come back and put a big bow on this Thursday, August 11th edition of Cleveland Browns Daily right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. All right, I hope you enjoyed everything that went on today. Just going to have to wrap it up for us. Do we need another hour for the show, man? You'll probably say, shut up, man.
At times, yes.
Shut up, Rega.
We'd like to do that.
Right, I'm sure Dave DiNatale feels the same way. Hey, delighted to be with all of you today. As the preseason wears on, when Nathan's traveling with the Browns, Matt and I will We'll keep this thing rolling.
Absolutely.
I know that the Browns are going to go to Tampa to work with the Bucks before they play them in a couple of weeks. So you and I'll be together. Always a delight, my man.
For sure. You
appreciate
too.
It.
It's good to be back.
Yes, sir. A lot of fun with that. Dave DiNatale, appreciate it. We thank Jason Gibbs, our executive producer at Cleveland Browns Daily, for all of his work, and we thank Nate Ulrich for joining us as well. Get ready for it starts tonight. Six games going on tonight around the National Football League. Know you'll be watching and You and Matt and Nathan can discuss that tomorrow, and then the Browns tomorrow night. That's going to do it for us. Golden Boys next with Aaron and Emmett. For Matt, I'm Michael. See you next time on ESPN 850 WKNR's Cleveland Browns Daily.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.